Okay, well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here to talk with you about our research today. I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Paul L. Morgan, who is in the School of Education at Penn State, George Farkas, who's a sociologist and was at Penn State, and then he absconded to sunny California, and he's now at UC Irvine, but we still work with him anyway, and Stephen Maksuga, he is an analyst at the Population Research Institute at Penn State. And as you said, I have nothing to disclose. So why were we interested in this topic? Well, this audience probably doesn't already knows a lot of this rationale, but we know that greater than 60% of preschool children regularly receive non-parental child care, and that higher quality child care is associated with school readiness and long-term academic success. And we were particularly interested in vulnerable populations, children at risk of developmental delay, and as the American Academy of Pediatrics highlights in their policy statements about child care, the negative effects of poor quality child care are magnified for economically disadvantaged children and those with special needs, such as those born at low birth weight. Evidence from NICHD study of early child care and other studies suggests that poor and minority children tend to receive less optimal child care. And we know that there are efforts to address this disparity, with Head Start being a major federal initiative. But at the population level, we don't know, or we haven't been able to look at comparative quality of child care for developmentally at-risk children, that particular group that we're interested in, to what extent Head Start makes a difference in the quality of care for these subgroups, and whether child care quality is similar in Head Start center-based and family daycare settings. So those were the things that we were interested in, and our objectives were to determine the types and quality of child care settings used by children at elevated risk of developmental delay. And we looked at three groups: low birth weight children, children in families in poverty, and race ethnic population subgroups. We wanted to examine differences in child care quality in Head Start and non-Head Start settings used by these groups. And we wanted to identify individual and contextual characteristics that might be associated with enrollment in higher quality child care settings. The data that we use for this study is the Early Childhood Longitudinal Study Birth Cohort, or ECLSB, which is a new nationally representative cohort of children that was, the sample was selected from birth certificates in 2001. So these are all US born children. And a strength of these data are that these children were assessed directly with hands-on assessments, plus their parents were interviewed and there were other assessments as well of child care, specifically for this purpose today, but other assessments as well with school people at kindergarten. But anyhow, the assessments that were with the children and the parents were at 9 months, 24 months, 48 months, and kindergarten entry. And we also have access to all the birth certificate information for each of the children as well. What we used in these analyses were the birth certificate and the 48-month data. ECLS did oversample low birth weight poverty, children in poverty and race ethnic subgroups, especially Asian children. We incorporated sample weights to make our estimates nationally representative. We have information about primary child care arrangements at 48 months for 7,500 children, who also have data on other variables of interest. And I want to just say, you'll see that in the unweighted, I present some weighted numbers, and those don't end in a zero, but in the actual unweighted numbers, because of ECLSB confidentiality restrictions, we're required to round those to the nearest 50. So they always have zero at the end for the unweighted numbers. Observational ratings, actual the facility ratings of child care quality was available for a subsample of a randomly selected subsample of children, 1,250 in this study. So our measures of quality, we used one, the Early Childhood Environmental Rating Scale Revised Edition, which is an observational measure of quality for center-based, specifically for center-based care. It's developed was developed originally by Harms, Clifford, and Cryer, and they revised it 2005. It has 43 items measuring learning activities, listening and talking, program structure, interaction, personal care routines, furnishings, and display in the facility. Each rated on a 7-point scale from 1, which is inadequate, to 7, which would be excellent. Then in a similar but not identical, so they're not directly comparable, set of scales, the second one, the Family Daycare Rating Scale, or FD Fideckers, I'm sure we're saying the acronym wrong, but that's what we were calling them, Eckers and Fideckers, is an observational measure of quality in center-based child care, developed by two of the same authors. And it includes 40 items that measure similar but not identical concepts, learning activities, language reasoning, social development, basic care, and space and furnishings, scored in a similar manner. As far as the other variables that we were able to look at, we looked at low birth weight status, low birth weight being less than 2,500 grams. Poverty status, we had access to family income and household size at 48 months, and we could compare to the federal poverty level standards to identify families in poverty. We looked at various race ethnic groups, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, and Native American, although the quality analysis excluded Native Americans due to small sample size. We had gender of the child. We had child's age in months, even though this is at the 48-month assessment. It wasn't possible to do everybody on their exact birthday, so some were older and some were slightly younger. We have mother's education, which we classified as less than or equal to 8th grade, 9th to 12th grade, high school grad, some college or college grad. We looked at married, unmarried marital status, mother's employment, full-time, part-time, or not employed outside the home. We looked at region of residence, U.S. Census region, and also whether the residence was rural or urban. Our statistical analyses included frequency distributions of settings computed by poverty, race, ethnicity, and birth weight, mean child care quality scores for each child for the full sample and separately for Head Start and non-Head Start. We did OLS regression models to investigate the determinants of child care quality, and all of these analyses were weighted using SAS software. So first, what I'm showing you here are the child care setting by poor, non-poor status. And because the Head Start program requires that the majority, although not all, of their participants come from families that are economically disadvantaged, it's not surprising that that a larger percent of poor children were enrolled in Head Start related to non-Head Start. So the 28.7 versus 8. We were kind of dismayed to see that only that less than one-third of poor children are being reached by Head Start generally. The other thing to notice on this slide were that poor children were also more likely than non-poor children to be have no non-parental care at 48 months. Here are the frequencies by race-ethnic group, and we see that there's considerable race-ethnic variation. African American and Native American were most likely to enroll in Head Start, 31.5 and 31.2. While whites were the least likely at 7.9%. Although Hispanic families experience high levels of economic disadvantage at rates similar to African Americans, Hispanic children are less likely to enroll in Head Start, only 22%. Then looking at the low birth weight, non-low birth weight frequencies, we see that about one-fifth of children born at low birth weight are enrolled in Head Start. So here we are looking at the mean overall quality of child care by child characteristics in center care on the left and family daycare on the right. These are the weighted ends, so they don't end in zero always. In center care, if you look down the column here, you see that overall quality scores are similar for poor and non-poor children. Poor and non-poor children, white and non-white children. For in low birth weight versus non-low birth weight, there was a slight quality advantage for non-low birth weight, but it was not significant. But in contrast, when you look at family daycare, you see that there are large differences that disadvantage high-risk children in two out of the three groups. The mean quality of 2.86 for poor children is nearly a full point below that for non-poor children. And that translates to close to a standard deviation difference in quality. A similar discrepancy is seen for non-white compared to white children. So to look more closely at the effects of Head Start, this table shows quality for Head Start on the left and non-Head Start on the right, centers, and this is just centers. So looking across the rows, Head Start settings have consistently higher quality scores. So you see, for example, among the poor, 4.75 versus 4.28. And where the asterisks are, that shows a statistically significant difference. That difference is significant for poor children, Hispanic children, white children, and non-low birth weight. You can also gain some information looking down the columns a bit at this. For example, looking at the race-ethnic scores, we see that black children are in centers that are rated lowest in quality, both in the Head Start and in the non-Head Start settings. Poor children were also rated significantly lower in quality in non-Head Start centers compared to non-poor children. Here are the quality ratings for family daycare. And in contrast to centers, looking across the rows for family daycare, shows that Head Start settings were of lower quality ratings consistently. So Head Start 2.74 versus non-Head Start 2.89 and across the way. The gap in quality is particularly large for low birth weight children, second from the bottom. As seen in center care, looking down the columns, black children receive care in lower quality settings than white children, and Hispanic children in Head Start family daycare also receive care that was rated lower in quality than white children. A large quality difference is also seen among poor and non-poor children in non-Head Start family daycare. Because these differences were most pronounced in family daycare, we did our multivariate analyses predicting quality in family daycare. And model one includes only poverty status. And that shows a significant negative effect, as you would expect given the descriptive results. So people, children in poverty tended to have be in settings with lower ratings. But when the other covariates are entered in model two, we see the association between poverty and lower quality care can be accounted for, appears to be accounted for by the covariates included. And the strongest effects are seen for mother's education, which shows a graded relationship in that the lower the education, the lower the quality of the care that the children receive in child care. Race ethnicity figures for African American and Hispanic children. And after controlling for these other covariates, Head Start in family daycare settings remains negatively associated with quality in these settings. Southern region of the U.S. is also associated with lower family daycare quality ratings. So we conclude that Head Start centers provide high quality care for at-risk populations, but they reach comparatively few who could benefit, one-third of the poor children and one-fifth of low birth weight children. Race-ethnic disparities in child care quality are present across child care types, with black children most likely to have lower quality care in most settings, Hispanic children also in one of the cases too. And finally, that Head Start family daycare programs did not appear to provide quality advantages for at-risk children, and we believe this warrants further investigation. Thank you.